T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Well, good morning, Portland. It's just about time to get your day started right here with Dusty and Cam on Today in the Fan. We'll get up and get started. It's time for Dusty and Cam. Just around 6, shower, shave, and coffee. It's time to get that sports fix. Bring a case of the Mondays, then there's Would You Rather, just a little bit of awkward. So tune in live today. It's Dusty and Cam.
Which one's crusty and which one's dusty?
My sports package is huge now.
Where are you at, brother?
Hornswoggled, befuddled.
I'm ready to crush your dreams in the morning.
Lighten up, Cam.
You don't even have a barn.
Would have built one just for you.
You'll love your dog.
I love you.
It's time for Dusty and Cam.
We've got to bifurcate those two things.
Good morning, happy Tuesday to you, the 11th of August, 2020. Dusty and Cam in the morning, Dusty here. Ryan Buckley, what's up, dude? What's cracking?
Hello, Dustin. No, didn't like that?
Nope.
No? Hi, Dusty.
What's up, man?
Is that better?
Yep.
Okay.
I've never been a guy. See, this is might be weird for you. Never been a person that was ever gone by my actual first name. Ever. My entire life. Again, I think that's a weird thing. I think like me and maybe people named William, who go by like a Billy or a Bill their whole life. Never
or a
go
Will.
By
we have a Will.
Yeah, Will. Like, there's very few names where you just go by your full name the entire time. Like, it's William, Matthew, Benjamin. Like, those are pretty, and then just me. But I'm the only person I know, because as people grow up, they usually transition from Dusty to Dustin. I'm never going to do that.
I see.
I will be an old man named Dusty, and that is, I think, a little odd.
An old man named Dusty.
Yeah, because I think I have a kid's name. I have a child's name.
Or a cowboy's name.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know?
Yep. Pure Country. Ever seen it?
You told me about this. You told me about this the other day. You told me I had to watch it, and you also told me that you needed
George
to get
Strait.
The jacket from the movie.
I do. I need the satin jacket from Fear Country, because that's a Dusty.
I think I may need to watch this with my wife. She likes country music. I'm not as much of a fan, but I can see how this tale would be entertaining.
Oh, my gosh. You're not a fan of country music?
Like, when I say I'm not a fan.
That's a polarizing genre of music.
And I'm not super anti. It's just not my... It's very far down my list of what I would prefer to listen to.
Yeah. I don't know. If I were to power rank mine, country would be number one. Then like 90s hip hop would be number two. Quite the difference in my tastes of music. But nonetheless, that's where I stand.
Well, and see, I would go from yacht rock to 90s hip hop.
Yeah.
Then back into a classic rock, probably.
Yeah. Like, I'm going country, 90s hip hop, 80s, just the entire genre.
Sure.
Then, I'll mess with a little yacht rock, but I'd put oldies above yacht rock.
I do love me some oldies.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's all about what your parents listen to in the car when you're with them.
True.
You know, because that is, that's going to be a big indicator of your musical taste growing up.
Yeah, I still listen to a lot of James Taylor because my mom listened to a lot of James Taylor. And that's like, I don't even know, I guess that's like light rock, or it's like kind of a genre by itself, or maybe even a little folk.
I'm going to throw this one out there. I think with like the music that is on demand these days, I think kids are not going to have as much of their taste formed by their parents. Because it's just like...
Oh, I think you're definitely right about that.
Whatever you want at any given time, like there's never an excuse to like not have... Parents out there will know this, like the Frozen soundtrack or Moana or whatever. And so you're just sitting there like, okay, my God, how many times do I have
play
to
play the Trolls song again?
Yeah. But I mean, obviously there is those times where you're dominating the radio and you're going to be like, no, take a back seat. But it's far less than like back when we were kids, it was just whatever's on the radio is what you were listening to.
Yeah.
And now those you have so many more options to be playing music.
I also feel like there's not going to be an appreciation for full albums, like, at all. I feel like we get, even more so now, people are just putting one song on a playlist that is kind of for them. I mean, that's kind of what radio does for you, is creates the ongoing playlist. But I feel like so often now, there aren't that many artists coming out with, like, full-on albums, and I think the full album is not appreciated the way it used to be.
True. Very true. Bill, I mean, there's not money in that anymore.
The money
now is just putting out singles and throwing them online. Because
this person featuring that person on Spotify.
But there's there are so many like songs that I like that were not the hits from.
Right.
From
that's an what, album. And I think that whole kind of, I guess, like second cut or tier below of the non, you know, the non-hits, if you will, is going to kind of get lost on the next generation.
I love this. Had my dad go through a country music phase when I was in junior high. I can't stand country music and will do anything to avoid it. There's an important one because you were at that age where no matter what your parents are listening to, when you're in junior high, you're not listening to whatever they want to listen to. So that is probably why you have an extra sour taste for country music.
That could make sense. Yeah, that's the thing also. If your parents, if they overplayed or outplayed something a little bit, then you could also grow to hate it because you're like, oh gosh, mom, not this album again.
Yeah. Ooh, I have my daughter listening to full albums now. She's big into the Beatles. Like that
nice.
That is a good little homework assignment. Hey, now that we're all teachers again, with schools not really starting in person.
Yeah.
Maybe that's your music class.
Oh.
Just roll that way.
Sure.
Because I mean, like, well, look, there's no chance in hell I'm going to be able to teach my kids how to play an instrument outside of hot cross buns on the recorder. You know, I have zero musical talent.
Chopsticks on the keyboard, maybe?
I can do that. And then I can play, Mary Had a Little Lamb on the piano.
You know what?
And that's it.
The name Dusty seems like a harmonica kind of guy that takes a harmonica out of his back pocket. Kind of a cowboy thing, you know?
I'm not going to lie. I was into Blues Traveler.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. I have dabbled. All right, let's get to the show today. We've got a big day in our local sports scene. Like, these don't happen very often, and they sure as hell don't happen this early in August. But we have a huge local sports day. The Blazers take on the Dallas Mavericks today at 3:30, and nothing is safe with the Portland Trail Blazers right now because they are now only a half game up on the Phoenix Suns, who are 6-0 and perfect in the bubble. And the Blazers must win both of their final two games in order to guarantee their spot into the play-in round.
So this is one of those awesome scenarios. Ooh. Where you know, as a sports fan, it's a little bit stressful because you're fighting in the standings, but just take a second to appreciate the fact that we have a stressful sports situation on our hand. It is so great to be like, uh-oh, must-win game is on the calendar. It is a big sports day, and it feels like we haven't had a must-win game come our way yet since we kind of resumed things.
It hasn't been a must-win game in a really long time.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And this is where, like, I think on social media, I see some Blazer fans, I'm like, yeah, this is not good for you. Like, this is not good for your health right now. Your mental health is not okay on social media. But then I look at majority of fans and I'm like, all right, you know, this is the best thing that we could have right now because it is meaningful sports. And I don't care what anybody says. The bubble just isn't working from a standpoint of no positive COVID tests for the NBA. the level of play is far better than what I thought it would be.
The level of play is really, well, I think it is very good. I think the defenses are still struggling, so we're seeing all kinds of offensive numbers.
Yeah, but the product, like what I was...
But it's good basketball is what you're saying.
What I was not looking forward to was shots just clanking off the rim, and you had shooters struggling. And look, there are guys that are struggling. I mean, that's...
Some ISO ball and having it look like a pickup game.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not that by any stretch of the imagination. Anything else, because the defenses are so out of sync, they're actually running more offensive sets. You're seeing more offensive sets from teams because there is kind of this nature of that continuity defensively is gone, and they're not really sure how to defend team defense, so you're seeing the ball move around a heck of a lot more. It's fun to watch. Games are high scoring. They're not dragging on for too long, even though the final 2 minutes of an NBA game can last 45. It's ridiculous. But the level of play is good, and you have drama at the end because the Blazers, Memphis, Phoenix, and San Antonio, they're all within a game of each other. Everything is working. If Adam Silver were to draw it up, he couldn't do it any better than he has right now.
Yeah, the 8-game pre-playoff restart was a little bit odd, I think, to many on the schedule. I get that you kind of had a re-ramp up, but now it looks genius for not going right into the playoffs because it gave everyone a chance to kind of reset, but it also gave us this awesome race to the finish.
All right, elsewhere we have... In the local sports scene, the Portland Timbers, they're playing for the MLS's Back Championship tonight at 5:30 against Orlando FC. That one on ESPN. So like basically right when the Blazer game ends, you can just flip it right over
sports
to the Timbers.
All day.
Noted non-soccer guy, Dusty Hera here to tell you, I will have my eye on the Portland Timbers game. The Portland Timbers match.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yes, it is a match.
Will be on the Portland Timbers match against Orlando FC because, I don't know, suck it Orlando. I just want the hometown team to do well.
There you go.
So,
and that's soccer talk for today.
How far away is the MLS bubble from the NBA bubble?
I don't actually know.
Because they're on the same campus. And everybody's talking about like the accommodations that they have at the NBA bubble, but nobody has said a word about what the MLS is going through since we saw literally the Firefest
sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was it. I haven't heard anything out of the MLS bubble. I think they shut down the internet there. So their players just can't even tweet out anymore.
Probably. That would make sense.
But the Timbers take on Orlando FC tonight. MLS is back tournament 5:30. On ESPN. So giddy up. We got a great sports day, but it's not all great because today we could get some bad news on the Pac-12, where the Pac-12 stands on a potential postponement of the football season. It is 6:14 on the Fan. All right, what a whirlwind yesterday was. We ended the show last segment of the day. The Detroit Free Press was reporting that the Big Ten has officially postponed their college football season and will move it back to the spring.
Rumors were a flying yesterday.
Yeah, and it kind of seems like as the dust has all settled that was actually the case at the time. But then public pressure started mounting, player pressure started mounting, coaches started speaking up. The damn president of the United States of America got involved in it and was
they want to play
tweeting out. You know, it went from 0 to 100 real quick. And
it's a Drake song.
It's
a Drake song.
0 to 100?
Yeah.
I mean, look, let's be honest. That was a saying before Drake came up with the song. That bothers me, tangent, when people are like, oh, yeah, that's from that song. No, it's not. It's like you can sit there and we can be like, oh, yeah, from a movie. You're like, no, it was a saying before a movie.
Right. Yeah.
It's like the Michael Jordan. You miss 100% of the shots you don't make. Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott, right?
I one time referred to Atlanta as Hotlanta because my dad had referred to it as that many years ago because of the Heat. And everyone's like, oh, you're ripping off Nelly. No, I am not. My dad said Hotlanta way before Nelly said Hotlanta.
Well, I don't know. Let's not rule that out with your dad because he was the Napster king.
That's
so
true.
So he may have, and that was
he
right.
He might have been in with the St. Lunatics and I didn't even know it.
That was at peak Nelly.
Yeah.
Is when when your family got busted for ripping off music on Napster.
Sure did.
So he may have been, St. Lunatic. You just didn't even know it. He and Murphy Lee. All right. 0 to 100 really quick. Drake. Yesterday it did spiral out of control and it went from the Big Ten saying, all right, we're done. We're out. This is a postponement till the spring. And then as everybody started speaking out, it seems as if the university presidents kind of are second guessing that idea of whether or not they should postpone the season till the spring. Well, right in the middle of, hey, Big Ten has postponed to the spring, and before it was, hey, maybe they're just going to kind of pump the brakes on this, it was reported widely that the Pac-12 is going to follow suit almost immediately behind the Big Ten, as they did with the conference-only scheduling, as they have in a lot of different instances. The Pac-12 and the Big Ten have kind of been tied at the hip and been going along together. I don't know why those two of the Power Five seem to be on the same page, but they are, and everybody else is just kind of doing their own damn thing.
I can't say I'm totally surprised that there is division between some of these Power Five conferences, but it's interesting the way that they have kind of aligned.
Kyle Bonagura, who joined us at 8 a.m. before all of this kind of went down.
He probably had a big day.
Yeah, he did. And look, did you text him? I told you that if any big news happened, you would have to text him to wake him up for the nap.
I actually didn't because...
Come on, Buckley.
Well, I wasn't monitoring the news. I was on the golf course. I'm sorry.
So, Bonagura has today there is expected to be a conference call with ADs and university presidents in the Pac-12, and we could see a vote.
It is worth noting they always had this meeting on the calendar.
Yes.
This wasn't a reaction to needing to make a decision. They were going to meet today anyways.
But in that goes, are they going to follow suit or are they going to pump the brakes? And this is the latest that I can tell you. Nobody is to right now, it being 6:22 a.m., nobody has canceled the college football season in the Power Five conferences and postponed it to the spring. Yesterday, we did have the Mountain West officially make that call. Okay. But as of right now, no Power Five conference has made that decision yet. It's seeming as if what the Power Five conferences are leaning towards now is bumping back the schedule. And this is a question that I have, is that why can't you just do this? Because John Wilner of the San Jose Mercury News tweeted out what he believed would be a feasible college football schedule that would wrap up a little bit later in the calendar year.
But on paper, it seemed okay.
And not bump it out until, March, where you're starting the season.
Right.
His idea is you suspend football August 11th, you start camp on September 28th, October 24th, you have your opening games of the college football season, you only play 8 regular season games, you have a conference title game on December 19th, and then after that, you can have bowl games and college football playoff if that's what you want, but you just bump it back just a little bit, right?
At the very least, it buys you time.
Okay. You also have guys from Peter Burns of the SEC Network, right? Where he's saying a 10-game season that starts on October 31st, conference championship games are January 30th, the college football playoffs are February 13th, the college football championship game is February 22nd. That is 15 weeks to get 10 games in. Okay. Now you're bumping things back way back. But look, you're not starting the season in March. Also, what that does is you're not trying to convince the NFL to bump their entire calendar back as well.
Right. It doesn't require alignment with them.
Right. Yes. And at that point, okay, do NFL teams then just bump back where the combine is and make it a little bit closer to the draft day? Yeah, probably. Yeah, they do that. But is that big of a deal? No.
No.
No, and it also gives a heck of a lot more time for that rest and recovery between the seasons.
Yeah, yep.
Here's the big problem, though. Will you be able to start the season on October 31st?
We're not going to know till we get there.
But if you sit there and you keep this calendar and you have this for another month or so, right, then you can just continue to bump this thing back a month and continue to modify the schedule. And if you absolutely have to, guess what? If you keep on bumping it back, you eventually get to your spring football schedule.
Right. I mean, that is a backup option at this point in time. But anything you're doing to buy yourself time right now seems like a good idea.
Yeah. And that is where things kind of stand right now with the information that is at hand. You have just an absolute whirlwind of a day yesterday where it seemed like college football was doomed. And then you have coaches speaking up, and we'll have audio on this coming up a little bit later in the show, but coaches like Scott Frost coming out and saying, if the Big Ten doesn't want to play, we'll find someone
to play. We'll play somewhere.
So is Nebraska going to rejoin the Big 12 this year?
Nebraska goes SEC.
And then, yeah, and here's where it also lies. We were talking about the Big 10 and the Pac-12 being aligned. So you have the ACC and the SEC they're preaching patience in all of this, in potentially bumping things back. In the apparently the Big 12 is just split. It is split. And now we're at a crossroads where, all right, if Big 10 teams like Nebraska, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State all saying we want to play at all costs this year, the half of the Big 12 does this lead to a widespread conference realignment? Is this an out for a lot of teams to go ahead and start seeing fracturing within conference alignments?
Man, it's not the domino effect that you would have necessarily anticipated at the beginning of this, but it certainly seems like it's a possibility.
This will be something to keep an eye on for obviously the next 24 hours, but the next weeks as well, as where does the college football season go? And that is what our P1 social is this up to the players or the presidents of the universities? Because it seems very split right now. Depending on where you're looking, the focus is on university presidents on one hand, and then on the other hand, it's completely on the players in player safety. 503-250-1080. I want to hear from you. Where is it most important to you, this college football, and whether the season starts or doesn't? The players or the universities themselves? Here's Buck with SportsCenter.
Down here, it's our time. It's our time down here.
Every morning at 6:30, Dusty and Cam want to hear from you.
Come to the coast, we get together, have a few laughs.
It's time for Dusty and Cam's P1 Social.
Want me to drive?
No, I'll drive.
The time of the day where you drive the conversation.
Well, we're waiting.
Text Dusty and Cam at 503-250-1080 and get social with us.
This is your time.
On 1080.
Now go out there and take it.
The Fan.
503-250-1080. That is the Fan text line. Hey, in a half hour from now, Portland State head football coach Bruce Barnum will join us. He was supposed to join the show yesterday, but he got his wires crossed. He's on the road. He's traveling around doing probably a little camping trip or something like that, being a family man. But Barney will join us at 7 a.m., Big Sky canceled their football season last week. I want to pick his brain from a head football coach. How do you recruit? What lines do you go down in evaluating talent where some states are playing, some aren't? Signing day here in the state of Oregon, high school football season, his big recruiting base, right? Washington, Oregon, California. They're not playing until the spring. That's after signing day. How do you evaluate kids?
Yeah, I will be fascinated to hear how his expectations of the future have changed.
And if you have not heard Bruce Barnum before in an interview, he's a hell of a dude and he's a funny man. So I'm really looking forward to having Barney on at 7 o'clock. Okay, let's get to our P1 social today. College football. Is this up to the players or up to the presidents? 503-250-1080. The universities themselves, in kind of the way that they are obviously ultimately responsible for the welfare and player safety, are they not? And this conversation has gone to the universities and the conferences themselves will make these decisions based on the student athletes. But then you see the other side of this conversation being the players want to play. They are saying, we want to play. You have coaches that are coming out and saying, these guys, all they want to do is just work and play and get out on the field. You have Nick Saban coming out yesterday, and look, Nick Saban can be a bit much for me at times, but you know what? If there's one thing that he has his players' backs, right? Very rarely is Nick Saban throwing his guys under the bus.
I think you're a schmuck, Coach Saban.
Yep, that's my drop. That was my bulletin board material for them because he said that media was too nice about him.
You were just helping them.
That's what I'm talking about. But he was saying, you know, we are a safer place than a lot of these guys' homes. And he said, we're acting as if these guys can't get COVID if they're not here. And then also, like, what are we going to kick these guys to the curb and just send them home and not do anything? And here's my thing is that if they don't have a college football season, why is it that these kids just have to be sent home to where it's not? Like, you can't still keep them on campus and keep them protected and have them go to classes like they were going to do if there was a football season?
Well, that's the thing is I think that there's a misconception that the overall idea is that right now a college campus isn't necessarily a safe place for all college students, but these athletes aren't in that same boat. They would have different protections and health and safety protocols because of the fact that they are athletes. So you can say, you know, whether that's fair or not is for another debate, but it's not like them showing up to college is the same as anyone else showing up to college. If everything else is pretty much shut down and you're training and protecting them, that's a different story than just everyone going back to school.
503-250-1080. This is the Fan Text Line, our P1 social. Of course, I'm like everybody else that loves college football, and I would love to see college football this year, especially because it's a distraction from what's going on in the world. But let's be honest. I think everyone knows that if they do this, it's just going to end up falling apart, and lots of people will get sick and potentially pass it on to others, and that's not good for anybody. And that is kind of going on the lines of, all right, this is a university decision. And one of the things that is swaying university decisions now is that they are finding that there are heart inflammation that comes with COVID or is more likely to happen, right? And it is a condition that you see after viral infections, like, you know, the cold or H1N1 or the flu or whatever. But for whatever reason, you know, this is according to the reports that are coming out of the Big Ten's decision making and why they want to make a decision. It's because, microcardosis is what it's called. And it is something that you see more commonly in COVID than other viruses, if that makes sense. It's still not like a 100% guarantee, but this is something that, you know, it's kind of they've been tracking it as of late, and it's becoming more and more prevalent in this decision-making process. And that's where it comes down to, hey, this will come down to university presidents trying to make that call and make that answer. This text just says, I just want America back to normal. I don't want to be the country that can't travel anywhere because we can't get a grip on this pandemic. If that means canceling sports that can't do a bubble, then so be it. I'm not sure the risk of it is all necessarily worth it. And that is thoughtful point, but there's a lot of people that are saying, yeah, my industry can't go on if we don't have sports, right? And that I think that that is a big reason why you hear a lot of the coaches taking this hardline stance. It's not just that they're football guys and they have the singular focus and they have tunnel vision, which they do, but it's not just they're getting their players backs and they want their players to play. They're also looking at their coaching staffs and sitting there going, all right, if we don't have a football season, there's going to be a lot on the chopping block. And it's going to be my staff, my guys, my families. And I think that is where you're seeing a lot of this coming from, too, is the push through from the athletic departments is because they know, hey, if you can't get a football season in this year at some point, it's going to be devastating. Scott Frost said it yesterday. He'd guess between $80 and $120 million of the athletic budget would come from a football season. But that's not what, like, the other conferences are going, well, we'll just push it to the spring and we'll still get that money or some semblance of it. 503-250-1080. That is the Fan text line. It just doesn't seem like it is making much sense to have a football season right now because of where we're at as a country. And it just, if you were to sit there and say, as of August 11th, where are we? No.
But that's why I want to be in the business of buying time right now. You know, and that's what I think some of them are trying to do, because I think that, you know, I don't think we have to make a decision right now not to play, but we can at least delay that if that's eventually where we're going.
And that's where I do side with Ohio State coach Ryan Day, who went on College Football Live on ESPN yesterday.
I would say we cannot cancel the season right now. We have to, at the very least, postpone it and allow us a little bit of time to keep reevaluating everything that's going on. That's the reason why we put this schedule together, to have some flexibility. If we need to take a deep breath, let's take a deep breath. But let's do everything we can. We owe it to these kids to exhaust every single option we possibly can, and then we go from there. But doing that right now, to me right now, would be abrupt.
And I agree with him in these terms of what Ryan Day is saying is, like, we are such a reactionary culture. We want just the decision to be made, and we want to know, right? We want to know right now what's going to happen and what's not. There is so much gray area. And we saw this at the very beginning. Well, we've seen it all throughout this pandemic, is people just saying, I just want an answer. I just want to know how long this is going to be, how long I'm going to have to quarantine for, how long I'm going to be working from home. All of that is just, I want to know, and I want to know right now.
No, the ambiguity is really difficult on not knowing whether you're going to have to hold out another week, another month, another 6 months. It's not that's part of the kind of mental toll it's taking on everyone.
And I know that Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, is saying that he had I didn't even know that this was a occupation, but a biostatistician tell him, this is so new, there's so much unknown about it. The longer you can buy yourself time, the better off you'll be. And that was SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey said that on Good Morning America, where he's just like, so that's what we're going with. We're just going to buy ourselves enough time, kick the can down the road a little bit further and a little bit further and a little bit further. The hard part is that these guys are trying to get ready for a season that they don't know when it's going to start. And that is, look, there is a ramp up. There is a get your body right and get into shape. And that is a really hard thing to keep intact the entire summer. And then is it going to be the entire fall? Are you going to have to go the entire winter as well and wait for the spring? That is something that is an unknown. And that's why the players want an answer of whether they can play or not. The coaches want to answer whether they can play or not. But the reality is, as of right now, they're looking at it and saying no. And even the SEC and the ACC are saying that. Because Greg Sankey is saying buy time, which means if they were ready for it right now, just to push through and go, they would be doing it.
Exactly. If we were ready to have a season, we'd be on track to be having a season as originally planned.
503-250-1080. That is the fan text line. You guys are lighting it up, and we are going to get your feedback next. Dusty and Cam on the Fan. All right, 503-250-1080. Up to the players or up to the universities? College football's season. There's two different arguments that are raging right now across the country. The players want to do it. The coaches want to do it, right? And I think overwhelmingly they do. They do want to play, because I think that it is hard for folks to sit out here and understand how much football means to some of these people. Some of these guys that are playing, the coaches that are coaching, it's their life. It's everything that they've ever known, ever. And that is that's a tough thing to try to convince somebody, no, it's in your best interest not to do it, right? Because it's everything you know and everything you want to do. And just take Trevor Lawrence, who is measured and thoughtful. He's the face of college football right now and the potential overall number one pick, talking about where the season is for he and the Clemson Tigers.
When you go outside of these walls and you go get food, you go do anything, you're at just as much, if not more, risk. So that's the thing, that we feel safe here. We want to do what we love, have some normalcy. Things haven't been normal in a while, and just being out here practicing. We just love being out here, and it's been great. You know, not that many people usually enjoy fall camp, and I think the whole team has had fun. And I heard Coach Quinney saying, because you don't know, it might be your last day. So We're just soaking it up and hoping to get another day after that.
And that's the thought that they have. I mean, it's hard for them to look out and look across, like, what's happened to Major League Baseball, right? With the Marlins and the Cardinals and, you know, the Phillies and games getting canceled and stuff. And it's hard to sit there and tell you, no, you cannot do this. Like, you absolutely can't. Nobody likes hearing the word no, right? And that's why this kind of, it's come to a head where it's like university presidents who are, you know, looking at the medical advisory boards, and they're looking at the data that's coming in and what their universities are doing. And then you have the coaches and the athletes. And one of the things here is that these major universities, the athletic budget is such a small portion of what they actually do as a university that it isn't much of a factor for them. And if they're saying, okay, all things considered, what can we do? The university presidents normally aren't on that line, in that plane of thinking of, okay, well, thinking of how our university operates, where our budget is, and what's going to help us moving forward the most. It's not necessarily athletics, although athletics are your front porch to your university, right? It's what people see the most on the outside when they're looking in. You know, we don't have top 25 rankings that are as hotly contested about business schools in the country as we do college football.
Right.
You know, and that's where it's your front porch. But once you get down to it and you're going, all right, Buck, why'd you go to Oregon?
Because of the sports. Honestly, I wanted the big campus, big university feel. I wanted an alma mater that I'd come back to and watch games and cheer for my whole life.
But what it came down to as well is, all right, so you wanted that environment. And then it was, all right, which one in that environment, which school fits me the best academically, right?
Right.
I mean, and there's a lot of college students that make that decision that way. All right. It's the facts. It's truth. I don't know if it's facts, but it's the truth of how a lot of college students and a lot of, you know, people think in making a college decision. And so that's where it is your front porch. And we look at it and we root for these football and basketball teams so hard and we get behind them. But the university presidents look at it in a completely different way. And what they're getting is just facts from doctors and their medical advisory boards and where things are as it stands right now. 503-250-1080. Your text, unfortunately, college football choice, whether to play or not, depending on where the school is located, it'll become political. That is, well, everything has become politicized in our country. Not just because we have a pandemic, we got an election year, and we got people all trying to jockey for position and get folks on their side one way or the other. That's true. It is true. More text. So they give them special treatment to play football. That's kind of a slippery slope. Then they have to admit they aren't just student athletes first, and they're different than your normal student, which is a narrative the NCAA has tried to push whenever compensation has come up. And yes, but they already have made those concessions that they're just not normal student athletes. And it's as much as you can, we sit there and we can say, and that text is on point, is that it's also, you're not a normal student in a negative light as well. That's why name, image, and likeness is such a big deal. These guys can't go out and get jobs, right? If Buck is struggling for cash at the U of O, he can go work at Burrito Boy, you know, and that's okay. Not for, you know, Anthony Brown, the quarterback. And that is where, you know, it's a positive and negative that these guys get treated differently in the college athletics realm. Remember that Arian Foster interview that he did after his playing days were done, where he said that he called Philip Fulmer one night over the phone and said, "Coach, me and my roommates are hungry. We don't have any money. We're going to go do something stupid."
Yeah.
If we don't get fed. And Philip Fulmer came over with a bag full of tacos and said, "Here, don't do anything stupid." That was an NCAA violation.
Yep.
You know, it gets ridiculous, the kind of standards that they're held to, but also not held to as well.
Right. I mean, it that whole thing is a mess, and that's why we need to get away from the purely amateur model.
Yep. This text just says simply, I think bubbles work and no bubbles don't. I mean, look at the NHL. They reported zero positive tests still in their bubble up in two bubbles up in Canada. The NBA bubble has been working beautifully after the initial hiccups with the two teams in the MLS's back tournament. They have been flawless.
Both soccer bubbles had hiccups early and now they're fine.
Yeah. And that is, you know, bubbles are working, and Major League Baseball is actually considering a bubble for their postseason.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
well, we even heard, you know, Sean Payton last week saying that he could see teams wanting to go bubble concept towards the end of an NFL season, regular season or postseason for them as well, because they believe that may work.
Yeah. And, you know, I was talking in the last segment about how, you know, there's a lot of these coaches that are sitting there and a lot of folks that, you know, whether it's a text came in that said, you know, I sit there and on one hand I go, man, this college football season it's not in the best interest to go on. But then you look at small towns and like what Nebraska is doing, like Lincoln, Nebraska relies so heavily on football season for their local economy.
Tuscaloosa. I mean, we read those numbers.
Yeah. Where it's like millions upon millions of dollars.
I think it was $2 billion in Tuscaloosa.
Seriously?
I forgot
what the number was exactly, but it is ridiculously high numbers on what college football season can mean to those local economies. And you sit there and you go, all right, are we going to see some businesses sinking? That's why some people are really hardlined on, no, football needs to happen. But then there's this text that says, you know, my industry can't go on. Welcome to my life. I work in ticketing. We've got nothing right now. I know we're not the only ones. That's really the reality of this pandemic, though. That is 100%. I mean, there has not been a single industry that has been affected or has not been affected by this. And we know that, except for Amazon and Zoom.
Yeah.
Those two seem to be immune to it. And that is kind of the reality of it. But it's so hard to sit there and think that our entertainment and our escape is also being negatively affected by it.
I did just double check it. Yes, the Tuscaloosa mayor said a couple weeks ago that the city of Tuscaloosa could stand to lose $2 billion in lost revenue.
Wow. $2 billion.
With no football.
My goodness. And that is, you know, a scary proposition for those local economies and those the people that live there. But you again, I have to go back to what the university presidents look at. And they don't look at that. They look at my university, where athletics rank in our hierarchy there. And some of them obviously do. They rank way higher. Look at Nebraska, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State. Their coaches are just flat out saying it. Even though Ryan Day at Ohio State, who had the hashtag fight for his guys in getting a season going, his administrators are the ones that are saying, are voting to cancel the season. You know, it was a 12-2 vote for the Big Ten, according to the reports. And the only two that said we should play are Nebraska and Iowa. The other 12, they voted to cancel it. So some of these coaches are doing it in the face of what their university presidents and athletic directors
Most of them, it would seem.
Yeah. We do have audio about how college football could work, though. We've been talking about, you know, the pros and cons of it. Well, Dr. Dave Petron is the University of Utah team doctor, also the Utah Jazz team doctor. And he went on ESPN 700 in Salt Lake yesterday, and he's actually on the student athlete medical advisory board for the Pac-12. And he broke down what it's going to take for college football to be played this season in the Pac-12 and the recommendation that he and his board sent to Commissioner Larry Scott. We'll have the audio from that coming up a little bit later in the show. Plus, the Portland Trailblazers have no margin for error. That coming up in the next hour as well. But where we start is with Bruce Barnum, Portland State head football coach. Big Sky has canceled their fall football season. They're going to be playing football in the spring. Would be a good opportunity to catch up with Barney, talk to him about how you recruit in this time where states are playing at different times and, you know, you are in a spring football season, not a fall football season. Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.